And it had been it had been a really blessing time. And I feel a prayer from all of you that have been surrounding me. And through this through my time in the hospital, I have been going through a lot of tests and training and things like that, because I have a illness in my lungs. And through all the tests that the doctor have been taking, they called me in and said that they cannot find any reason anymore for my symptoms. So God is doing a great, great work in my body, in my life. But I think it is according to what he's doing in in his own body on earth, in all of us. He is showing us that we are coming into the time that we will be hated. We will be put aside. We will be persecuted. And a great hatred is rising up on the earth against us. But, brethren, it is nothing according to the love of God that is surrounding us, the love of God that is rising up within us, the love of God that is following us every day, and the love of God that is his presence with us and in us in this time. And it is going to be greater and greater and greater. And it will not get less. It will come more and more. And it will be in the time that we have never, ever seen it before. Because it is not the darkness that is coming to the fullness. It is the glory of God that is coming to the fullness in our life, among us, and through us. So I am so blessed by this time that I have been in this hospital. It had been really a waking in my life how precious the call of God is on our life. And when I was, for 10 days ago, I called my brother in Iceland, because he was also in hospital. And I prayed for him, and I talked to him about this precious time and how precious it is to have the Lord with us in the battle. And I didn't know how he was going to respond. But the next day he wrote a letter, wrote to me and said, "You know, your prayer works. I feel peace filling my room." And it did not only touch me, but it touched the doctors that came in. So we are living in the time where the character of Christ is going to be manifest in a greater way in our life. So I'm so blessed, and I'm so thankful. And I have to go through 3 more days in this hospital, and I'm going to use them wisely, and I'm going to use them to thank the Lord for all this crowd of people that I have been speaking to and meeting and talk to. What a great history of people. People that have been getting a new lungs. People that have been getting a new heart. And I am standing there in the midst of them, and I have not a new lungs. I have not a new heart, but I have a new spirit. And in that spirit is something for all these people. So I'm courage. What a precious time for a precious people. So blessing to you.
Amen. Amen. Do we have any prayer requests or pause the recording here for a minute? Amen. You know, brethren, as we were singing the song, I don't know, I call it the Sierra Leone song because that's where we learned it. Lord, we proclaim you now. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be something to see that power of the Lord come down upon us while we're meeting, right in our midst? And then my crazy mind went to, oh, but we're not all gathered in one room. He couldn't do that because we're not all in one room. And then the Spirit came and said, oh, but our God is a God who can do anything. He could come down in our 18 rooms or however many we are here today, and he could do it simultaneously to each one of us. You know what? I believe he's going to someday. Someday we're going to be praising his name, and he's going to manifest his awesome power to us. Well, that's what came to me this morning.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can I, hello, Brother Mark.
Yes, I can hear you.
You are loud and clear.
Okay. Like Brother Mark had mentioned that the Lord was indicating that he can come down upon us, and that we don't need to be in the same place to have the same experience at the same time. And when the Spirit of the Lord fell upon the 70 in the wilderness with the elders in the wilderness with Moses, I think out of the 70, 68 were able to make it to the assembly. And for whatever reason it was, two could not come. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon the 68 that were gathered together, and then also fell on the other two. I suppose that it may be because either the mercy of God prevailed or they met the requirement. Whatever reason it was that they could not come, I don't know. But I can't find an indication that they didn't come because they were rebellious or they had some sin. But they didn't come, and the Spirit of the Lord fell upon them right there. So it is there, he said that he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And the thing that God is doing may not necessarily be at a time of a congregation gathering together. Amen. You know, it's going to pour the Spirit everywhere at the same time when he wants to. So we don't have to be in the same physical location like they were on the day of Pentecost. But surely we have to be in the same spiritual location. You know, we are striving that we'll be in that location in him. Amen. You know, I got thinking about the testimony, the word that we looked at, mentioned, I think last week or the other week, from Daniel chapter 9, where he listed out the seven items, that seven things that have to be done within the 70 weeks of Daniel. And what was mentioned about the, there was 69, and then there was the 70th week. And then we are being taught that in that 1 week, that the Lord had taken 3.5 of it. And we're in a time place where we're going to be getting there's a pending 3.5, which we have been, we're trying to understand that we are the people that may, that God may be looking at and waiting on, so to say, to fill in that last 3.5 years. You know, that second half of the week. And, you know, as I get thinking about it, it's like I'm looking for something spectacular. I'm looking for something to happen somewhere for the word of God, for prophecy to be fulfilled. But I began to understand that it is not something that will happen somewhere. It is something that has to be happening in me. Amen. You know, so God is looking at me. God is looking at my soul, because most of the time, when we look at the thing that will happen in the earth, we seem to be expecting it to happen somewhere out there. At least that is how my mind, you know, has been thinking. To happen somewhere out there, and then I will get involved with it. So I'm waiting for something to happen, for something news to, you know, come up somewhere. But God is saying, indicating to me that he is looking on, he's looking at me, he's waiting on me. That is a work that God wants to do in me. So I'm actually the one that is holding back the coming of the Lord. Amen. It says that Enoch walked with God, and his walk with God brought something that was never known. That he walked with God, and he disappeared, spirit, soul, and body. So there was something that was happening. There was a response, I believe, that Enoch was making. And I need to be looking at a response that I should be making in my heart. So that coming of the Lord, that great day that I'm looking out for, I have a very important part to play. Amen. So I have a very part to play. It is not the response of Brother Mark or that is important, or you know, anybody else. There's a response that I need to be making. I need to be expecting the coming of the Lord. I need to be putting myself in order. You know, there's a trigger. We're looking for a trigger to trigger out something. But that trigger is in my hands. I don't know whether I'm communicating what is in my hand. There's a trigger. There's something that, you know, must be built upon the earth today. The coming of the Lord must be built upon the earth. And that coming of the Lord is there is a lot of trust that God has deposited in me. Somewhere in Peter, it says that we hasten unto the coming of the Lord. So there's a history, there's something that is a work that I have to do. So I'm beginning to understand that I have to begin to look at my preparation. I have to begin to look at my readiness. So it's not something out there. It's something that must be happening in my soul. I need to be making a response. I need to be giving myself to God. I need to, you know, when you look at the ministry of the apostles, there was such an urgency. You know, Paul was saying that, you know, we that are alive and remain will not prevent them. But so he was saying that we who are alive and remain. So he was expecting that thing to happen. And he was getting his heart in order, keeping himself in a manner, forgetting the things that were behind him and looking forward. He wanted to have that, you know, an ek resurrection work in him. But Paul, with all that, he still left. So although Paul said that we that remain, he is now gone. And we ought to be saying that we that remain, so there should be an expectation. And I'm asking God to help me and to encourage me and us to repent of my, you know, laissez-faire attitude, to repent of my excuses and begin to seek the Lord. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So I give another example. You know, the Lord had promised that there was going to be, that a virgin was going to, be with child and will bring forth a son, and he will be, will save Israel. So what was the disposition of the women in that day? So every sister, you notice, they were looking forward. They were preparing themselves to be that virgin. That is why to be a virgin was something that was, you know, precious. The mothers were looking forward so that, you know, the fathers were looking forward that their wives will be the one that will bring forth that Christ, that King. And the sisters too were waiting, saying that I pray I will be the one that will bring forth that King. That was why, you know, in the story of what's the name of Urias's wife, Bathsheba. But when there was a conflict, Bathsheba and Absalom, on, you know, who was going to Absalom, Adonijah had gone behind to begin to front himself as king. And Bathsheba had to do something very quick because she wanted to be the one that will, you know, be the one that will bring forth the Christ. Amen. So there is that urgency, and the people in scripture, they were preparing themselves, saying, I'm praying that this child, this daughter that I'm giving birth to, oh, how that this daughter will be the one that will bring forth the Christ bring for Jesus, the king. And they kept doing that and doing that with an expectation. And that expectation is what made them to keep themselves. Because first of all, if you are not a virgin, you are disqualified. Amen. So the first qualification is that you must make sure that you are a virgin. Number two, you must not marry an Amalekite and all those things. So there were things that were set, you know, to set for anybody who wanted to be the one that will bring forth that king, that savior that was prophesied. And everybody had to be putting himself in line and getting ready until I believe that God was looking for that seed and looking for that woman for so many years. And then Sister Mary was able to meet the mark in time, amen, in time and in place. And when she met that mark, she got the word and the seed was conceived in her womb. And she brought in she changed the whole of creation, if I may say so. That seed that Mary received from the Lord changed the whole of time. Amen. And I believe that she was preparing herself so much so that she could hear God. That was the preparation that she was making. And that word of prophecy that was prophesied from the time of Adam, because that promise of bringing the seed was given to Eve and then given to Abraham and given down the line. At the end of the day, a woman made herself available and that prophecy came to pass in her life. And it was it's a blessing to everybody. So this new kingdom that is going to be established, God is looking for a people who are going to give themselves to him. So I want to be delivered from looking out there at somebody else. Amen. But to look at myself, look inward. What does God want me to do so that this Christ, the fullness of Christ, may comfort in me, so that the kingdom of God will have full expression in me? So I'm just saying that the thing in my heart is that there is something I must sanctify myself. He said that he will appear unto them that the Lord whom you seek, he says so in Malachi, that the Lord whom you seek will suddenly appear in his temple. So there is a seeking of the Lord, brethren, that I must be involved in. So that those that wait for him, he shall appear a second time. He said so again, in Peter and James. So there is a response. There is something I have to be giving my heart to the Lord. It's a time, brethren, of giving ourselves to the Lord, waiting upon him, so that the word, the prophecies can be fulfilled in us. Amen. Those, you know, the things that Daniel spoke about, those 70 weeks, it will make an end of sin. It will bring in everlasting righteousness. It will anoint the most holy. Now, as I looked at it, all that scripture was fulfilled in time in the man Jesus. He did all that, all those things. He made an end of sin. He brought in the righteousness. Sin could not reign in his body. It was one man that did not have sin. And he is communicating that strength into us. And we have been given all the ability, brethren. We have been given all the ability, all the victory. The thing that is in Daniel 9, those things are all encoded in the blood of Yahushua, brethren. All those things in that, maybe I will read it. Let's just read it a little bit, if you don't mind. Let's all look at it. Let me look at the Daniel chapter 9. Just a minute. Daniel 9. Daniel 9, let me get on my computer here. Daniel 9, what verse is that? 24. 9:24. Amen. I read it. It said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. The holy city, to finish the transgression, number one, Yehoshua did that, to make an end of sins. Number two, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Number three, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Number four, and to seal up the vision. Number five, to seal up the prophecy. Number six, and to anoint the most holy, number seven. Now, all these things were fulfilled in type by Jesus Christ. Amen. He did that. All these things were fulfilled in him. He is the first fruit. He is the first fruit. And these things here are not just to be fulfilled out there. They are things that are to be fulfilled within my soul. Amen. Mm-hmm. Paul said that sin, that is Romans chapter 6, he said, sin shall not have dominion over me. That is it there, feeling the transgression, make an end of sin. So, Brother Paul declared that sin shall not have dominion. But that means I have the ability in him to overcome sin. So if I don't overcome sin, it is not because the power is not there. I need to repent. I need to cry to him. So all these energies, I will say that's verse 24, are energies. They are, you know, the power. And all these things were encoded into the blood of Yahushua. All this power that we are seeing in verse 24 were put in the blood of Yahushua. Amen.
Amen.
And if you notice the way he was crucified, the manner of his crucifixion was such that I believe that there was no drop of blood that was in that flesh. That blood was completely drained out. Every drop of blood in him was drained out. You will notice also that when the Passover lamb was to be killed, the instruction was that don't boil it. Don't boil it. It should not be sodden. Don't sod it. Don't put it in water. It must be roasted. It must be roasted. And that means that when you roast it, you dry up all the blood. Roasting dries up all the blood. Now, when you cook it, some blood will remain in the meat. In the world, it may remain good. Blood may remain if you cook it, but when you roast it, everything is dried up. And that's the manner of his crucifixion. Everything was dried up, even this on his head. There was a crown of thorns on his head to drain off the ones from the head that were draining from his hands, from his feet. And then the scourging, every there was no skin. The skin was completely matted, that his visage was so mad. So those Roman whips were so mad that it messed up all his face, all his body, so that his blood drained out completely. Amen. And it was to drain out all the energy, all the overcoming. Now it says in the book of Leviticus 17:11 that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So all the victory, all the energy was encoded in the blood of Yahushua, brethren. Amen. So when that blood was shed and released, and we received that blood, we have received so much power. And I'm asking God, why am I living as though I have not received power? Why am I living less? Amen. I said, God, I need to wake up. I need to begin to see that blood of Yahushua, there is nothing else that I need. That blood is such a power. It's such a power. Amen. So I'm saying that God enabled me, help me, help us to begin to harness that power. Amen. I see that power is not what we, you know, the church is filled with people that want to do miracle and all those things. That is low energy level. We're looking at an ability to overcome sin, to overcome anger, to be righteous. Well, you know, we don't need the blood of Jesus to be rich. We don't need the blood. The richest men on earth, I don't know, a lot of them are LGBTs. And what they call, who don't believe in God. Atheists. So we don't need the blood of Jesus to be rich. We don't need prayer to be rich. The richest men don't pray. We don't need all those. So the things that we're looking at, the blood of Jesus coming in to deal decisively with the matter of sin. Now, everything, all the chaos in the world is hinged on sin. Because the last enemy to be destroyed is what? Is death. And it is the thing that creates death is sin. So when we deal with the matter of sin, we are finished with the battle. Sin must be dealt with. Iniquity, the issue is sin. Amen. You notice that, and I was looking at it that day, that in the time of the flood. Now, I wonder, because there was iniquity in the earth, there was great weakness in the earth, and it says that God said he was going to destroy the men and the world at that time. And he actually destroyed it. And there were just 8 righteous men. God called them righteously enough to, you know, minister, you know, allow them to enter into salvation. Noah and his wife, then Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives. And God wiped out the world of iniquity. But how come after a few years, iniquity came up again? How come? Because the matter of sin was not dealt with. Because there was sin in the soul of the people. Noah had some sin that he didn't deal with. Amen. Because after a few days, you know, I'm not better than Noah, but he said he got drunk. Just like me. I've done several. And then before you know it, you know, Shem and all those people. And then from Shem, sorry, from what's his name now? Ham. We had Nimrod. And what's his name now? The grandson of the one that's a grandson, not Nimrod, one that's one of them. Amen. Somebody came out, the mighty man hunt after the Lord, that was before the Lord. What's his name?
What's
Nimrod. Okay, it's Nimrod. Good. So Nimrod came out from the flood. He came out of the flood in the loins of Ham. And he began to multiply. He became an antichrist. He became the beginning of Babylon. So the sin was in his soul. Even with, we learned about the other day about Sodom and Lot. And God came in, and God, because of the iniquity in Sodom, God came in to judge the iniquity. And he found four people worthy of escape: Lot, Lot's wife, and his two daughters. But unfortunately for us, Lot's two daughters were carrying the spirit of Sodom in their souls. So the matter of sin was not really finished with. Maybe it was slowed down, but when it finished with. But at this time, God wants to make a permanent end of sin, brethren. Hallelujah. God is, in this season, what God is saying that he wants to make a permanent end. Sin is going to be wiped out completely. Amen. The issue of sin will be dealt with once and for all. Amen. It had never been treated in that manner. So what we are looking at, this Daniel 70th week, is something that must excite us, brethren. We're looking at where sin and all that talks about sin is going to be dealt with permanently. And God is going to bring in everlasting righteousness.
Mm.
Amen. Mm. Praise God. So Amen. It is something to look forward to, brethren. And it's something to encourage us to begin to check ourselves and make sure that I'm in order. Because what God is doing is not to deliver me from lying yesterday and I lie again tomorrow and repent. I lost tomorrow and repent. No, he wants to deal with the matter of lust completely. Completely. He wants to wipe out sin. The same way he wiped out Sodom. Sodom was completely wiped out. God wants to wipe away sin from the earth, so that there will be no more sin. Amen. So we're looking at that, brethren. Hallelujah. So let our hearts begin to look, begin to expect. I'm expecting righteousness. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. What we're looking, for a new kingdom. When I'm not looking for economic boost. If the economy gets better, it's not going to help me. If the economy gets better, it is of little use. Because the economy getting better is not going to touch the issue of sin, wickedness. There is no better government that will come. Government is not going to deal with sin. So God needs to help me to begin to look away and begin to look at the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. All the laws they're going to make and all that is trash. It will not deal with the matter of sin. Man cannot deal with sin. The only thing that can treat sin is the blood of Yahushua. And we need to turn our attention. And I'm saying, God, help me. Help me, dear Lord. Help your people. Maya Tamai. Help us to turn our attention to the real salvation. Amen. Lord, let me not be distracted with many other things. Deliver us from the distraction of politics and economy and social life. Lose your people. Hallelujah. Lose Pakota Yamayamai. Lose us from the distractions. Help us to turn our attention to you. To look at Yehoshua, who is the author And the finisher of our faith. Say that there is no other name given under heaven where men can be saved except by the name of Yahushua, the name of Jesus. Help us to begin to turn, to begin to look for salvation from you. Look for deliverance from you. To invite you to come. To wait upon you. My God. Hallelujah. He said that thy kingdom come. That was the prayer that you taught us to pray. Say, thy kingdom come. And Lord, it's like we have forgotten to pray that prayer. That your kingdom should come. That your will should be done in earth. Lord, let your kingdom come. Hallelujah. There is a dimension that kingdom must come today in my soul. As we fellowship, we're praying that, Lord, that kingdom will come in my soul today. Hallelujah. That your will be done. Let your will be done in our lives. Hallelujah. Let your will be done. Let the will of God be done. We look for your will. Say that I come to do your will. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Lord, we pray that which is written in the book about us, the same thing that was written of Yahushua, is what is written about us. My God. Hallelujah. My God said that for the hope that was set before him, he endured the cross. Bless your people with an ability that hope that is set before us will catapult us, will enable us to endure every cross, to endure the tribulation, the trial, the persecutions. Say, looking unto him, the author and the finisher for our faith. Touch our eyes today with eyes out, dear Lord, that we may see, that we may behold you, higher mind, that I may know you, the man said, and the power of your resurrection. Open our eyes today, dear Lord, to see you some more and to run after you. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, brethren.
God bless you, brother.
So to summarize, the last week of the 70 weeks, during that last week, he made the covenant, and it will be fulfilled in the last part of that week in us. I believe that's what Brother Edie is saying to us today. Go ahead, Rita.
This is kind of maybe off the subject, but I want to make a comment. Daniel and Vinny, I always see that picture behind you. I love that picture. I have it on my laptop. It's a picture of perfect peace. They're in the midst of the fire. There's fire, raging fire all around this wilderness, this forest. And here's these deer. Just gentle deer standing in a stream, which I would consider for me would be the river of life. They're standing amidst trouble all around them, fire all around them. They seem to be at perfect peace, standing in that little river of life. That's how we should be when we're standing in the fire, you know, perfect peace, and knowing that God's going to take care of us, nothing's going to harm us. It's only going to burn away that which needs to be gone to draw us. And I just love that picture. And it just reminds me of the goodness of God, you know, to be, as a Christian, be like that in the midst of fire and be in perfect peace. Amen. Just
Amen.
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 Amen.